Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the Time of Truth.
Glory to God. It's good to have him as king, isn't he? He's God, and you can't do anything about that. The world can't change that, can't touch it. He's God. He's all the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's the beginning. He's the end. It's him. But it's good to have him as your king. Good to have him as the king. You know, in the olden days, it mattered which kingdom you lived in. Some didn't fare so well in one kingdom. And if they had the right kind of king, though, that kingdom fared well. Even the poorest of the poor had something to eat, bread on the table, and they had a job and something to do if they lived in the right kingdom. I'm glad, praise God, to be in the right kingdom today, aren't you? Any good? This is where the Lord's led me. We are saddened in our heart the passing of Sister Earlene. We got to spend some time with her yesterday evening, and then Brother Randy came right in behind us, and she went to where she lived a long time ago. She'd had a good long life and died, went to sleep there with the family gathered around her. Not all of us was going to get that opportunity. Some going to leave from different places, different times. We don't know how, but I can guarantee you one thing today. You are leaving. Whether it be by the hand of death, or whether it be the rapture of the church, you will leave this place. I'm in the Song of Solomon this morning. This is where the Lord hath led me. And I pray this will be a blessing to you today. Good to have each one with us today. We just really appreciate you being in church with us. Song of Solomon, chapter number 3. I still hear pages turning. You must not read that book very much. I'd say it's not everyone's favorite. If you don't care for poetry, it's probably hard for you to read. It's even harder to understand. It's not in chronological order. It just comes in pieces here and pieces there. It's about 3 main characters in there. The bridegroom, the bride, and the virgins. It's kind of all mixed up and twisted together, but it's a beautiful picture. The Hebrew writers thought it the picture of... They wouldn't let you read the thing if you was a male until you was 30 years old. Couldn't even read it. They thought it'd mess you up. But we see it here in post-resurrection. We see it as a picture of Christ in the church, and what a picture it is. You found chapter 3 and verse number 1. Shout amen. Amen. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets. And in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, here's what I'm preaching this morning. Saw ye him? Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he pleased. Father, we love you and thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for what you've done for us, what you're going to do. I pray now, Lord, by the righteousness of Christ, that you would fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of your book. Lord, touch the hearts of those gathered in your house today. I can't do it without you, Lord. but I can do all things through you. Help me, Lord. How many times have you allowed me to stand? How many times, Lord? So, God, I pray that this time be no different. You stand with me, God. Stand through me. Use me for your glory. If there be one lost today, I pray they'd be saved. If there's the one that's out of fellowship, God, that's cold, indifferent, backed up, not where they need to be in relation, right in relation with you, I pray, God, today that they would remedy that and God, to seek you, Lord, and have fellowship established with them in their life. Touch this sermon, this time for this people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Saul, ye him. If we take a number of songs that Solomon's written, if we go by scripture, there's over 1,000 that he's written. But the one that tops them all, according to him, is the Song of Solomon. He called it the Song of Songs. It's the one that topped the charts. It was the number one. According to him, there's never been a song written like it again. Hey, it's the number one song. It's the Song of Solomon. It's Solomon's story. What kind of song is this? It's a love song. It's a love song. Pure and simple, start to finish, and everything in between. It's all about love. That's what we need today within the hearts and the confines of the church. We need stories and songs about the love of God. And then we need to recognize what that love is. Now, Solomon in the Old Testament was this. You're going to find that number one, his wisdom, 1 Kings 4:11. He's wiser than all men. There was never a man put upon the face of the earth, according to Scripture, that was wiser than Solomon. Solomon could have asked for a lot of things, but he asked the Lord that he'd give him wisdom and give him a heart that he might judge his people. And when he asked for the right kind of heart, God gave him everything else he could ever want. There's none wiser, according to Scripture, that sat on the throne of Israel than Solomon. Number two, there's this. We consider the wealth of him in 1 Kings 10:7. When the Queen of Sheba came, she said, "The half was not told me." The Bible said that he made silver like the stones of the ground. He was the wealthiest man that ever lived. His ivory throne, his golden temple that he made for God. I'm telling you, the shields was gold. The serving cups were gold. It was gold. I've forgotten the number and amount of gold that was coming into his presence every day. It was a huge amount. So we see his wisdom and we see his wealth. Number three, we see his wives. Every man, woman, boy or girl in this room today got a spiritual Achilles heel. There is something. There is something that can take you down whether you want to admit it or not. I think that's why Paul said, "Take heed lest you fall." Hey, old Paul said, "I sought the Lord thrice to remove this thing." Why did he do that? Paul knew, hey, he might be puffed up. He might become prideful. Hey, nobody been to the third heaven like Paul and come back and wrote letters to us in the church. Huh? Paul had something. What was it? Maybe it was his position. Maybe it was his understanding. Solomon's was his wife. 1 Kings chapter 11, it says, teaches us he had 700 wives. How about that, boys? And 300 concubines. That's part-time wives. That's a lot of women. And one of his reasons for doing this was political. It had nothing to do with the woman. He wanted them in his harem, so to speak, so that the daddy would say, "Hey, my daughter's married up to the king of Israel." Say, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? Matthew 12:42. Jesus said this of himself. He said, "Hey, a greater than Solomon's here." Solomon may have been wise, but his wisdom was given of God. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, A+. So his wisdom was given of God. He may have been wealthy. Hey, but all the earth is his and the fullness thereof. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's all his. So therefore, wisdom and wealth all come from the Lord. The wives, now we see this as a mystery according to the Paul. This is a mystery I'm going to show the church. Like the husband loving the wife. Here's what he's going to say. And I read this the other day. Jesus was never the husband to one that he could be the husband to all. He is the bridegroom. And we are the bride. And there's only one church, by the way. No denominations. One church. One body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. One. I'm glad. Listen. Some may not care for my denomination that I'm a part of, ordained through, and where God put me to work in this vineyard. But I'll just tell you this. If you're going to heaven, you're going to have to put up with me. My name's in the book, and that's where I'm going, Brother Gordon. One of these days, God's going to come, and he's going to call, and I'm going to go. Jim McComas posted something the other day concerning our friend that just passed away down there. Mickey Crane, one of the sweetest men I ever met in my life. And here's what he said at the end of the post. See you at the house. And all us Southern boys knew what that meant. He's coming over to see him. I'll see you at the house. We have here now, with that in mind, Solomon writing this. In this particular song, with those things in mind about Solomon, we have a picture of that here within this song, Brother Danny, of it representing the Lord. Here's what it is. So one day we find this little Shulamite girl, this Shunammite, there she is. She's out there. She's this way. She's dark because she's been working outside. That wasn't a positive thing in Middle Eastern culture. The whiter you were, the better they liked it. Hey, but today they pay for suntans. Back then, it was a mark against them. She said, I'm black. I've been outside. I've been working. The Shunammite girl's out there in the vineyard working. They put her out there. She might not have wanted to be there, but there she is. She's got to work for a reason. Hey, who comes riding by but the prince, the king, bless God, the Lord Christ, if you would. He sees her there in that place. The rest of them's looking down on her, but bless God, he looks on that with mercy. Hey, she catches his eye, and he says, I'll take that one right there. Glory to God, isn't that like us? Here we were, black and darkened by sin in a bad way, and the king come riding by, and he pointed you out and said, I'll take you right there. Hallelujah! Isn't it good that the king took us? He found her there, but within this song, now it's twisted up. I'm not trying to put it in chronological order. Just give you these five verses right here. Saw ye him? So at this time, there's been a separation. She's up on the bed. In other words, she's dreaming about the one whom she has met. She's up on the bed. She's dreaming about this. She's thinking upon him in her mind and in her heart. One old writer said this. How do we seek him? Bless God, through prayer and the scripture. We seek him those ways. She's up on the bed. She's seeking him. But she said, I can't find him. I can't find him. So in verse number one, here's what it talks about. It talks about the loving. What did she say? Whom my soul loveth. Now she's up on her bed and she's thinking about the one that her soul loveth. You remember how it was when you started dating? And pretty much everything you done pointed to trying to get together with the one you was dating. You couldn't wait to get off work. I'm in your mind focused on Friday night. Don't look at me like you're dead this morning. I'm made out of the same mud you are. There's too many babies in the room to go, I've never done that before. Might as well wake up here a little bit. You know how it was, Daniel. When you was going over to get Miss Florine, you couldn't wait to get over and pick her up. Laying on the bed at night dreaming about them. I love you. I don't know why we're separated. If I could just, I'd be happy if I was over there with you. I want to hold your hand. Brad drove me crazy when he was a little boy. I'd like to took him out back and choked him to death, but I was afraid Junior would shoot me. I couldn't set my pat. Brad come sit right between us. He'd go. I wanted to smack him plumb out on the floor. Go away, boy. You're cutting in on my time here. I think Junior put him up to it. Brother Brant, when I get to talking family matters, I call him Junior. No disrespect there. You know how it was. You're laying on the bed. You're thinking about that one. You love them. Oh, my word. Your heart is pounding to be with them. Let's look at this spiritually. Now that's written from a natural context there, making a spiritual application, if you would. The Lord saw us before we were ever made. And He loved us. 1 John 4:19, I want to make sure I have my scripture right. And we love Him because A plus. That's why we love Him. What's this? God gave me a profound thought this morning. That doesn't happen much. About 5 o'clock this morning, He come by the office, whispered this in my ear. You can't love something you don't know. You can't love something you don't know. Now, you may have feelings for them, or you may have a thought of love, like lost people throughout the world. I love their soul. I don't know them. But I can't love them unless I know them. You love what you know. Here, this makes this verse stand out, Brother Branch, is this. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew us. He knew who we were. Blackened like the Shunammite girl out there in the vineyard of the world, darkened by sin, and yet He came by. He said, I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll take you. So there we have the love of God, the love of God. Proven. Why is she laying on the bed? Because she loves Him. Why does she love Him? Because He first loved us. We have the time of that love is then, present now. But there's a type of love here. It's not just the time that she loved Him, but it's a type of love. It's different love. Listen. Christ loves us wholly and supremely. And it's a sacrificial love. He loved us more than He loved Himself. What is that? What type of love is that? Well, it's an everlasting love. Because who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation, persecution, distress? No. Famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, through all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, listen, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What is that? everlasting life. It wouldn't matter what my son done gets me or to me. People say about children that have been in one program after another, their lives are messed up, they're troubled, and it's over and over, and they try to, and they say, you know, that it doesn't matter how far they go, a real mom or dad loves them in spite of what they're doing. It's that love that's given by God. We not only see her loving, but here's what we find. Here's what we find. We find her looking in verse number. Now remember where she's at. She's up on the bed. I'll rise now. I'll go about the city and the streets and in the broad ways. I'll seek for him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I couldn't find him. I went to the wrong place. He's not in the broad way. The Bible said to enter in at the straight gate. For listen, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That's where the majority is. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. She was in the wrong part of town. You may find the sinners and you might find a street preacher or two, but look here, listen, it's not going to be the king that you're looking for down on Broadway. Do you ever think it is coincidence that most towns that where the greatest sin population is called Broadway? I'm waiting for that part of town that's called Straight Gate. I believe I'm just trying to find the Straight Gate, praise God. That's where life's at, Brother Dennis, going through the Straight Gate. She's looking. Where do we look for him? Saw ye him? Where do we look for him? Saw ye him? Well, we look for him in the Scripture. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And he's speaking to the Jews. And they are they which testify of me. Hey, look, he's in the book. That's him right there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Word of God. That's the living Christ. If we're looking, listen, we're looking in the Scripture today. He speaks to us. God, who at sundry times and in divers matters has spake to the fathers in time past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What is that? It's the Word of God. Say, I'm not hearing from heaven. You ain't reading the Bible. Cheers. You're not reading the Bible. You only hear from heaven? Read the book. Young people, that's how he's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you in his Word. Mom and dad may encourage you. Grandpa and grandma may encourage you. The preacher's going to preach to you. But if you want to hear from heaven, get in the book of God. There it is. He's a speaking. Saw ye him? Didn't see him. Wasn't looking in the right place. We're not just looking in the Scriptures, though. This helped me right here. But really, really, I look in the Scriptures. Saw ye him? Here's where I'm going to see him one of these days. Not just in the Scripture. I'm going to see him in the sky. Hebrews 9:27 said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. For look, he appeared. You know what he done? And he took away sin of many. Why not all? Because all wasn't accepted. Look, the sin debt's paid, but not all will take the payment. But as many as look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The first time he became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The second time without sin unto salvation. Going home. Saw ye him? Why would you be looking? Because you love him. Well, first, that he loved you. Saw ye him? Am I looking in the Scripture? Saw ye him? Am I looking in the sky? Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Because of verse. Look, I'm not even going to preach about the watchman. I'm going to skip on down to verse number 4. It was but a little time passed. from them, speaking to the watchman. Let me interject this right here. He's speaking to the watchman because it's in the night. Because the watchman being there proves that this is a nighttime event. So therefore, you know what we're in? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Let your light so shine in this world that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Young folks, it's not hard. Hey, it's not hard to have just a little bit of light in this world today. All you've got to disagree with is what's politically correct, and you'll shine like a beacon. And you'll be despised and ridiculed and run down over it, but your light will surely shine. You still with me? Now in verse 4. Just a little that I passed from him or from them. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. I'm not going to let him go. Until I brought him into where? My mother's house. Into the chamber. Into the chamber of her that conceived me. I brought her home. You know what I done? Brought him home with me. Now we've not done that in a physical sense. We've not brought him home. We brought him home spiritually though, because he indwells us. So what does this go from? This goes from the loving. Look here. She's loving him up on the bed. She's doing this. She's looking for him in the broad way, in the wrong place. But she's doing this as well. Look, she's living. And what's she going to do? She's doing that at home. She brought him home. I'm going to bring him home. Remember when you took him home with you? Remember that, Randall, when you took him home with you? She said, now don't wake him up. He's going to wake up on his own. He's going to come at the appointed time. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. No, not my Father. No, not me, but not the angels. She said, the angels didn't know. But my Father which is in heaven, he knows the appointed time. He knows when he'll rise up and say, come. And we'll all be gathered to him. Stay with me. I'm going to share a little story right here, and I'm done. We were in Kentucky Thursday night, Friday night, in Prestonburg, and preaching in a camp meeting, and I met the pastor. I was nervous as I could be. I mean, terribly nervous. I'd never been to this church, big church, bigger church than this church. Not more people, but bigger church, I think. And I'm real nervous about it. I've never been to this place. I don't know the pastor. This pastor's, he's allowing his church to be used for this gathering. Brother Jerry, I don't know who this fellow. I never met Bobby Joe Spencer. I never met him. Brother Rand, you might know Bobby Joe. I don't know. But anyway. So I go in and I'd watched a little bit of him on a video and I thought, oh man, I don't know if we're cut out of the same mold here or not, you know. First impressions can be deceptive. But he's just a great guy. I met him at the door. He embraced me, thanked me for coming. Just super kind, super kind. We preached Thursday night and the Lord opened the floodgates. And then, so he come up to me after church, Brother Randall. Here's what he said. Saw ye him? Saw ye him? Saw ye? Saw ye him? Have you seen him? He come up to me after church. Here's what he said, Brother Danny. I might have made mention of Dusty. I don't know. Anyway, he said, I had a son got killed on a motorcycle. I said, man, Bobby. I'd hurt my heart. That little boy Landon died. Man, that tore my heart out. I didn't know him, don't know his mom and daddy, don't know anything about him other than he is 9 years old. Am I right, Pat, accurate on that 9 years old? And he died and went to heaven. I don't think that's fair, but I don't know. I'm not God. God's got a plan. And what turned my heart to thinking about preaching on seeing the Lord today was this story that Bobby Joe told me. And he said this. He said, He said, my son and I played a game. Said we'd see each other and said we'd play a little game. And he'd say, saw you last. He said, we were in an airport in Louisiana and I was going to one place. My son was going to another. Said we'd hugged and said goodbye. And he said, I'll see you, Dad. I'll be home in such and such a day. He said, I love that boy. He said, I started to walk off. We'd hugged each other, embraced. Said, I was walking off and said, he peeped around the beam that was there inside the airport. And he yelled, I heard him yell, saw you last. He said, I turned around to see him. He's out of sight. He said, preacher, said, never seen my boy again. I'm telling you, I tore my heart out of my chest. I tried to contain my composure. Bobby, of course, he's had grieving time. And it's been, I don't know how long this has been. But he said, never saw him again. This is what got me. He said, so when I start talking about him coming back after the bride, he said, I get beside myself because I know, bless the name of God, that that boy's coming back with him when he comes. I'm going to say, saw you last. See you now. I see you now. I see you now. Oh my. It's not about seeing them last. You know what's going to happen? We're going to bring Earlene in here. We're going to have the funeral here. We don't know about the times or any of that stuff. They've got family things going on. They're just like everybody else. Busy. Trying to take care of folks that's sick and all this. So we're going to bring her in here. We're going to put her in that coffin. I told her yesterday evening, I said this. I leaned over the bed. I said, would you do something for me? And she said, if I can. I said, I don't know if you'll remember when you get there, but if you get there before I do, would you do this? Would you tell some of them people that's looking for me to keep their eyes on the horizon that I'm not far behind? She said, I'll do it. If anybody remembered and done it, it'd be Earlene. I said, will you tell them that? She said, I'll tell them. I'll tell them. I said, let's pray. We had prayer. I didn't know whether she'd make it through the night or not, Eric. I didn't know she did. Hey, listen. Oh, she made it through the night, all right. We're going to put her here. She'll be here. There'll be a visitation. There'll be a funeral. We'll do all these things. And when I walk by for the coffin for the last time, I could say, saw you last. But one of these mornings, I don't care if it's the midnight hour when he appears, it's going to be daybreak. One of these mornings, here's what I'll be able to say. See you now. I see you now. Saw ye him? In John 20:20, you know what it says? After the Lord was risen, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. There they was, broke down, beat down, thought it was all over. But when the Lord showed up, they were glad when they saw the Lord. That gladness never left them. Why? Because of the promise of an eternal home in heaven. I say hallelujah. You may see me last, but one of these days it'll be this, Dennis. I see you now. If you're in the family of God, if you're not, the last time I'll see you is at the great white throne of judgment. And I won't ever see you again. You fall into that place, you'll never see your family again. So, oh, where you get that idea, preacher? Out of that book. Out of that blessed book. Everybody wants the part about the life. Everybody's okay. It's all okay. I'm going to do everything contrary to that book. The opinion of the world is, I'm going to do everything contrary to that book. But somewhere I heard about eternal life. The only place they got that information is out of that book right there. Because all man can tell you about is dying. Oh, but there's another book. And those that be in that book are promised eternal life. Are you in that book? If you are, you may see me last. Saw you him, but I'll see you then. Brent, if you'd come get us a song. Randall, you can come. We'll sing one. There's a man stood up in that meeting over there Friday night. He said, my wife and I have been married 45 years. She went to be with the Lord last week. There's a woman come up to me after church on Friday night. She said, preacher, she said, I feel compelled to tell you this. She said, I had a young daughter that contracted cancer and she died. And she said, one of these days I'll see her again. She said, it wasn't long after her daughter died, our son got killed in an automobile accident. And we're left childless here. I thought, God, you've been good to me. She said, but preacher, one of these days, she said, one glorious day, I'm going to see him again. Hallelujah. What a promise. Do you know that today? You will die. Yeah. Will you see us again? Let's stand at our feet, Brother Randall. Lead us in song.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.